I love that. I can't get enough of that song. George Harrison right here on Band Central Radio, WPKN, Andy Cadison, and...
Rob Fried. Andy, how you doing, my brother from another mother?
I am good, man. Oh, that just cut out. I got to put a little longer tail on that. I am good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Anybody ever tell you got a great face for radio?
Yeah, exactly. They do, often. They do. So we are here. You found us. If you're listening, if you're driving, listening in your living room, your basement, trapped in somebody's closet, we're happy you're signing into our show, Band Central Radio.
Yeah, man. Happy Monday.
Got a good show for everybody today. We've got immigrants, refugees, and what is being done to help them right here in Fairfield County, where we can help them get a good start and contribute. That's a pretty big mouthful right there.
It is.
What does that mean, Rob?
Man, you don't have to go back very far. We are all refugees and immigrants at some point. I mean, I'm a fourth-generation refugee immigrant.
Are you?
Yeah, man. My grandfather came over to Bridgeport in 1905.
Yeah, my great-grandfather was chased by Cossacks with a pitchfork and a blowtorch. I don't know what that means, but it happened.
Yeah. Is it?
It happened. Is
that why nobody in the family's been able to grow hair?
One of my best friends, Mark Witham, who you know, and we're actually going to try to do a lunch on Friday with you. His both sides of his ancestors came off over on the Mayflower. Can you imagine such a thing?
Yeah. Guess what? My wife is related to Daniel Boone.
That's not something you hear every day.
But not us. We're those Jews that came over between 1880 and 1920 and came to this part of the
thing.
Country. And,
it was Jews
and
Irish.
And they were leaving for, it's exactly the topic of the show. They were leaving for opportunity and also to avoid persecution.
So to talk about the overwhelming refugee and immigrant topic, joining us today is Claudia Connor, the president and CEO of CIRI. That's the Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants. Also joining us is Mark Jaffe, the president and CEO of the Children Learning Centers. We have a busy schedule with these amazing guests who have joined today on Monday. We're excited to talk to both of them. They're going to each have a segment. Then we're going to do a little roundtable on this discussion.
Absolutely.
Now, our mission here at Band Central is using music with purpose to help Connecticut children and families. We call it Funlanthropy. And we have a lot coming up. Rob, I don't know if you want to...
And, when you think of Band Central, the best thing is think of Grand Central for a minute.
Yeah.
Where you think of...
Smelly bums in a train station.
There's giving and receiving. And so all the trains coming in, or all the people that want to give. It's the donors. It's the artists that we work with that want to give of their talent. All the trains going out are the nonprofits that we work with that need help. And it's all the audiences that are just looking for a good, meaningful time.
And are the artists the bums that panhandle throughout Grand Central?
The artists are the givers and the receivers.
Let's remind everybody what we've got coming up.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we've got are a variety of themes. We've got a Studio 54 theme that we've been performing this season. We've got a Motown Review theme. We've got a beach party theme and a Woodstock Revival theme, as well as a Latin theme. And so on all of these, if you want to learn more about them, just go to robfriedmusic.com, click on events, and there's links to all of these events I'm about to say. But on March 30th, we are doing this Saturday at Visano's Four Seasons in Stratford, a Studio 54 performance for the Center for Family Justice.
That should be a good show.
Absolutely. That's with the What Up Funk Guys and Sheila Fabrizio and Nick Biela on horn, Eric Kalb on drums. Going to be fantastic. On April 4th, at the Palace Theater, we're playing Contemporary Soul for Children's Learning Center. That's the very same Mark Jaffe that's going to be on the radio here. That's going to be with
Fuzz. And we'll talk about that with Mark a little bit.
We'll talk about that with Mark. On April 12th, we're playing the Motown Review at the Cabaret Theater in Bridgeport for City Lights. On May 11th, we're playing for Mac Angels Foundation. This will be a heart house party in New Rochelle. That's going to be kind of a Woodstock acoustic rock theme.
Not at my dad's house, though, in New Rochelle.
Not at your dad's place. On May 16th, we'll be performing at the Black Rock Yacht Club for the McGivney Center. That's a Boys and Girls Club right here in Bridgeport. That'll be a beach party theme party. And on June 7th, we're playing a Motown tribute show right at the Carriage Barn in New Canaan for the Connecticut Institute of Refugees and Immigrants. And lastly, on June 21st, to benefit Creative Connections, will be playing at the Stepping Stones Performance Center, the Latin Dance Party, featuring Rick Reyes and all the Band Central Latin All-Stars.
Oh, my God. I'm exhausted listening to this. Well, the June 7th show we're also going to talk about for Siri, because Claudia will be in. So, Rob, that's a lot going on. How are you feeling about all that?
Man, you know, it's... Look, I'm working with about 10 different nonprofits, helping them with events and strategy and branding. I'm loving that. You know, I've still been training all the new people that come into Bridgewater, where I spent 36 years.
Yeah.
I help them onboard to Bridgewater, and Bridgewater is such a unique place that I just
World's
I just
largest
love
hedge fund, but an incredible contributor to Connecticut in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and the world, and I just love doing that work. And got a full slate of music with Band Central, as you saw, and also my closest musical partner, Barry Blumenfield, and I with Bone Dry. You know, we're performing at a variety
sure.
of places.
I understand you're taking up a new instrument, the pocket flute. Is that true, or is that just a rumor?
No, that's just a rumor.
Okay. Well, that's a weird rumor. Well, for me, you know, I had a bit of a tough week. You know, we're talking about kids and helping families, and we woke up to a situation. I don't want to get too personal, but last week, man, it was tough. My stepson has been struggling a little bit. And we woke up to a note that no family wants to get. Thank God he's okay. But, you know, it really does bring it home that not only do we have to watch out around us, and there's a lot going on right now with families and children, but also stuff close to home can provide quite the challenge when you're not really expecting it. So I'm happy this week is over and we're into a new week on Band Central Radio.
Yeah, you know, you and Shira have been through a lot, but usually there's flames and stuff going on around you anyway, and your whole thing is to be the eye of the hurricane.
So, you know, to kick us off, we're going to play a track called Todos Somos Ilegales, We Are All Illegals, featuring Tom Morello from the Rage and Audio Slave, Rage Against the Machine, and Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. This is a great track, and it's something that they did to support a group called Outer National. And I just want to say, when we found it, I thought it was a very emblematic, as I turn to kick off the show right here on Band Central Radio. And joining us next is going to be Claudia Connor.
Mírame a los ojos para que leas mi acento. Prohibido como la droga, ilegal como un nazi en una sinagoga. Contraindicado, clandestino, lo identificable, lo contamino. Más de 600 millones de personas gritando luz verde para invadir Arizona. No necesito diplomas, lo que aprendí lo viví y lo almaceno en mis neuronas. Las experiencias son mis talleres. La vida es un estudio desde que se nace hasta que se muere. Así crucé para el norte buscando buena vida, componente vacío de materia consumida. Dejé a mi abuela sola para besarle el culo a Ronald McDonald y tomar Coca-Cola. Todos somos ilegales. Todos somos ilegales. Who's the fire once? I'll tell him has come. Todos somos ilegales. Fighting for a new way.
todos somos ilegales.
Oh, man. That's intense.
It's a fiery song.
That's fiery. Todos somos ilegales. We are all illegals. Outer National, joined by Chad and Tom Morello. And it's pretty incredible that we are here with Claudia. And listen to that. It's a little weird. All right. We are here with Claudia Connor from Siri. And Siri is the Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants, and we're so happy you're joining us today.
Thanks so much, Andy. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you, Claudia. And, you know, I think I'm going to talk a little bit about you. I hope it doesn't embarrass you.
Okay.
For over 25 years, Claudia has worked
in she's blushing.
Program management, advocacy, and legal and strategic leadership experience. She's been in the nonprofit sector in the United States, Africa, and Southeast Asia. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that sounds pretty impressive.
It's very accurate. In fact, we lived in Mozambique and Malawi, which are currently underwater, basically.
Wow. Well, that's pretty impressive. You worked for Save the Children before joining Siri in April of 2015.
Yes.
So welcome. And
Thank
we are
you.
So excited to talk about what is a very difficult subject, which is refugees, immigrants, what's happening in our legal system, particularly, you know, we try not to get too political on the show, mm-hmm. but obviously the climate has been a little janky for refugees and immigrants, right? So I just would love to start out by wondering how everything's going for you.
Well, so as you say, it's important work. It's important and it's difficult work under the best of times. So, you know, I would say it's actually not political work. I mean, we are working in a political environment, but our mission is to work with refugees and immigrants and survivors of torture and survivors of human trafficking to help them resolve the many issues that they face and the many barriers they face to becoming self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really humanitarian responses, not political responses.
Sure. And when I said political, I didn't mean – what I meant was there's a climate in this country that is very seems like it's become more anti-immigrant and anti-refugee. And so that's what I was referring to, whether they're coming south of the border or in from Europe, from the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. It's the current anti-immigrant and anti-refugee sentiment that's becoming so prevalent is very difficult. It's difficult for our clients. Since the very end of 2016, we saw an uptick in the amount of anxiety and fear that our clients are experiencing. And
I have an uptick personally of anxiety and fear, but yeah. I don't think it has.
I share that.
Yeah. So what I love is that you guys, we talked about this a little bit the other day when we were chatting prior to the show, that you are really offering a triptych of services. Mm-hmm. You have refugee services, survivor services, and legal services to people in need of help and support. Is that still true? Is that mission really around the nexus of what you guys are up to?
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it, Andy. We have an array of programs that are all, you know, client-centered and client-focused and delivered with compassion and expertise. We work with refugees, and refugees, of course, are a subset of immigrants. An immigrant is just somebody who was born somewhere else.
Sure. So, and Rob, please jump in at any time. You know, the question I have is that when we, you know, my ancestors came over, you know, 100 plus years ago, my grandparents were chased by Cossacks or great-grandparents, right? Rob's parents came over. His grandfather settled in Bridgeport and became a Macher, as they say, a big shot. And I just wonder, for many of us who, you know, really do hear about what's going on, how has the refugee and immigrant process changed, or, you know, how does it work these days if you want to come over here?
Okay, so for refugees, I'll separate my answers for refugees and immigrants writ large. So for refugees, there has been a serious decline in the number of refugees coming into the United States. Mm. While we have over 25 million refugees globally, the number that we're resettling in the United States is a mere trickle. the current administration and the number of refugees that's resettled in the U.S. is always set by the executive branch, by the president's office. The current number for this year is 30,000. And between October and January, we've only received just over 9,000 individual refugees.
In Connecticut?
No, across the United States.
Across the United States. Wow.
Yeah. Right. So that's on the refugee side. We also just marked the second anniversary of the travel ban. So there are people from seven different countries that are not allowed to come into this country at all. That's affecting the refugee resettlement program as well. On the immigrant, on the immigration side, we, you know, it's a ever-changing landscape. I mean, the enforcement tactics being used by immigration and customs enforcement, the amount of fear, the concerns that people have that if they go to school, that, you know, children might go to school and will mom be home when they get there? People getting, you know, stopped in random places. So, and the, you know, incredible delays and backlogs in immigration court. So across the whole landscape, it's really gotten much more challenging.
So why do you think this whole question about the wall, which is just a part of refugee and immigration, why do you think there is a position in this country that is so anti-refugee and anti-immigration?
Well, I think that it's been the immigrant, the welcoming of people has been tied to security and fear. And so if we milk that, I think not we personally, but the people that are kind of milking that fear, fostering that fear, it's linked to people coming in. And so, you know, sort of metaphorically, a wall is a symbol of keeping people out, and physically it will
attempt
to do that
as
well.
It will do that. So you mentioned your mission before. I was doing some reading. So Siri envisions Connecticut as a place where new Americans may fully participate in our culturally diverse communities, where low-income families have access to affordable immigration services, might be united with family, and where survivors of crime and persecution may have the resources needed to become self-supporting and healed, where ethnic diversity is valued as a cultural and economic strength by all. How good is that?
It's really good.
So how do we support you? I guess one of the things we're doing is on June 7th, we have an event. Let's talk about that.
So we're thrilled that that Band Central is going to be playing live at a Motown dance party that Siri is hosting at the Carriage Barn Art Center, June 7th, as you said. So it's a fabulous time for people to come out, dance, hear some fantastic music. You guys are awesome.
Right, and Siri's still going to do your gala in the fall.
We will.
But that's a bit more of a formal thing. You know, I had been to their gala last year. It was really impressive. But I was sitting with one of the board members, and I said, I want to do something with you guys. It's just fun. People get to come out in their jeans.
You really are a mover and a shaker, aren't you?
People get to come out in their jeans, just have a good time.
So how can our audience, is it SiriCT.org? How do we get people to get tickets to this shindig?
Okay, so the link is live now on our website. So people can go to our website, CIRICT.org, they can get tickets now. We also have a lot of other information on our website, and I like to tell people that if they want to make a difference on global issues but do it locally where they can really see the impact, they can educate, advocate, and donate, and there are ways to do that on our website.
Yeah, and there are ways to volunteer for Siri as mentors for families and the like.
Absolutely.
So
that's the activate part.
Right. It doesn't just have to be from your pocketbook.
And what is the scope of influence? Is it Fairfield County? Is it all of Connecticut? Is it all over the world? What are the borders of Siri?
So the Connecticut part of our name is we are a statewide nonprofit. So we have offices in Stamford, Bridgeport, Hartford, and a part-time presence in Waterbury. We're working across the state. We actually have a Hartford fundraising event on April 17th at Real Artways. We'll also have live music, but not Band Central, maybe next year. So we're really proud of the work we're doing. Last year, we reached over 3,000 people. And as you said, Rob, there's many ways people get involved. We have over 200 pro bono attorneys working with us. We have mentors working one-on-one with refugee families, making a huge difference in their lives. So there is a lot of opportunity to really touch a life and put a human face on a seemingly global issue right here at home.
Sure.
And Andy, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to put you in a room with 200 pro bono attorneys.
Yeah, that sounds like torture. So, you know, the thing that occurs to me, and I think maybe this is true for many of the folks listening, is that, you know, I get bummed out when I can't decide what to watch on Netflix, right?
Sorry.
Right? When my butcher sells me a piece of meat that's a little too tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have problems. I had a tough week last week, and I'm making light of that. But the truth is, most people don't have to deal with the issues that these refugees and immigrants have to deal with.
Yeah.
How do we keep that in our consciousness as we go about our day?
Well, I think, you know, life's challenges are all relative, right? I mean, we all have challenges, and I think it's, you know, it's important to remember to keep it in perspective. And, you know, for our clients, I mean, we deal with day in and day out with people who have survived unimaginable horrors, who have been traveling decades, they've been displaced in incredible contexts that are really painful and difficult, are survivors of torture. But what we focus on is the life-changing aspect of what we do.
Sure.
And, you know, in my role, it's also really important to take care of our staff. So, you know.
How many on your team?
We have 40 staff across the state. Yeah.
That's impressive. Well, listen, you know, I would love you to stick around. We're going to do a roundtable with you and our next guest, Mark Jaffe.
That's great.
Coming right up, and we're going to ask you some questions. And I know for all of us, we can't be more thrilled and excited to have had you here to promote the incredible work that's going on at SERI to be doing this event on June 7th.
That's great.
So we'll talk to you in a minute.
Excellent.
And right now, we've got a little Bob Seger to take us into the next segment right here on Band Central Radio. You, but do I have me there? There I am. That's weird. All right. There's always a button that needs to get pushed that maybe doesn't get pushed. But right here on Band Central Radio, Bob Seger and Ramblin' Man. What's interesting about that song is it talks about being 13 and needing to leave home, which is what made me want to play it. And also, I was sort of intrigued by the fact that Glenn Frey from the Eagles is 17 or 18 and singing background on the song, which is sort of a cool thing. Anyway, our own Ramblin' Man is joining us right now, Mr. Mark Jaffe. Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon.
You know, yeah. I feel fortunate. The way I met Mark was that I had asked Karen Brown at Fairfield County's Community Foundation, where we have our Band Central Fund, hey, what CEO, what leader of a nonprofit should I meet who's really got it going on? She said, you got to go have coffee with Mark Jaffe.
Oh, nice.
And we did.
And here
he is. We've actually become friends, and we're both on an advisory board for
Effortless Mastery.
Yeah, a new institute at Berkeley. So we're doing stuff together and having fun.
Well, I'd like to talk about that. That sounds pretty cool. A little bit about CLC, Children's Learning Center, for our listeners, Mark. Kids speak 27 languages from over 40 countries in your program.
Yep.
It's one of the most vital and vibrant contributors of children into the public education system in this country, right, through Stanford.
Yep.
43% of children in the public school systems, it's even more than what you told me, based on some literature, are touched by CLC in some way. And that you provide over 500,000 nutritious meals and snacks each year, providing 80% of a child's daily nutritional needs, kids in the program. True or false?
You're hired, yeah.
You know, if you started eating there, you'd be less of a hypochondriac.
That could be. I think so. You're nationally credited by the National Association of Education of Young Children.
Yeah.
You have 8 locations.
Yeah.
You deal with at least 1,500 children a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you offer a comprehensive pre-K curriculum, on-site health care providers, family service workers, and nutrition programs.
Excellent.
That is crazy cool. I'm exhausted reading all of that. I need to take a break. But tell us about it. So what is for the casual listener or somebody that's just fumfering around at home, what does it all mean?
Sure. Well, what it means is we work with almost 1,000 children a day, 10 hours a day, very holistic program. And it's critical years. So we don't really pay attention to the fact that, you know, 90% of our brains are cooked by the time we're 5.
Right. My brain is cooked.
So if we spend a little bit more time and energy and dollars supporting the work with our children, then we'd probably long term, have a much easier go at it. And so we spend a lot of time around social and emotional development, critical. We had a partnership with Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence.
Talk about that for a second, because you and I, we were chatting as well a little bit earlier. So I found it thoroughly compelling that kids that are coming through the system are feeling much more apprehensive and anxious than ever before.
Yeah.
And that you're able to quantify that somehow.
Well, so if we step back, we have a mental health crisis in America, and it's played out in all kinds of ways, right? We have an opioid problem. And by the way, although our children are predominantly working class and lower income families, that issue covers the entire economic spectrum. And so we care a great deal about the social and emotional well-being of our children. And unfortunately, in CLC, 70% of the kids are immigrant families, and they have noticeably been reflecting a more stressful environment, unfortunately.
Some of these kids are afraid that when they come back home, their parents are not going to be there.
Well, that's right, actually. And so they're more clingy.
Yep.
They're actually using the word anxiety out of a 4-year-old. That's pretty crazy.
So how do these families find out about CLC? How do they get in the system? How do they get helped?
Well, amazingly enough, 80% of the families who come to us, it's word of mouth. So it's a closely knit community, and they talk to each other. So it's really by referral, although we take, first come, first serve in many respects.
Is it limited by your budget? I mean, do you have to cap how many people you can help?
Well, yeah, we do. I mean, our capacity in a given day is 950 children.
And I do understand you guys are working sort of a 2-generation angle as well, not only the kids, but the parents, the family.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you. We're spending more and more time trying to figure out the parent component. And so we're working hard to engage parents give them the tools. In fact, you know, my background is out of the for-profit sector.
Sure.
And I ran some publishing companies. And so one of the things we decided to do recently, because we observed that our parents were really well-intentioned, but in fact didn't really know what to do and didn't know what's age appropriate. So we started a publishing program. So we're about to launch something called CLC Books. It'll be a series of activity workbooks for parents and sometimes grandparents and the kids, bilingual, English and Spanish. And the notion is to give our parents tools to engage appropriately with the kids.
So I love that. I was going to mention, you know, you're being a little modest. You were a senior executive at Simon & Schuster, and then you went on to run Rodale, and among other things, you put out the South Beach Diet.
Yeah, my professional claim to fame. I'm not sure it's worked on my my figure, but, you know.
So what do you – I mean, you and I have that similar background. I was a senior exec at Sony Music,
right?
And then Viacom MTV. So how does the – what is the – delta between what you thought you were getting into and what does it look like now? You know, how does that worked out, you know, in some way for you?
So I mean, I tell people CLC is about a $16 million a year organization. So it's, you know, meaningful, significant. And I've run companies 10 times the size of that.
Sure.
And this is so far and away the hardest thing I've ever done. In fact, I think we should talk about, I want to do a reality TV series called A Day in the Life of Preschool. You wouldn't believe it.
I'm interested. I've developed a lot of unscripted TV. So, you know, it sort of begs the question, how do you prioritize with everything that's going on in this world? I do understand you've got some great strategic partnerships that are sort of coming up as well. You mentioned Yale, Scholastic, Columbia. How do you get these people in your orbit, and then how do you make the most of it?
So there's an interesting thing, and you alluded to it earlier, about CLC in particular. So we have a really large market share. In fact, I'm told by the CEO of Scholastic that we actually have the largest market share for any one preschool early childhood program for a mid-size or large city in the country. And you know, it's really something. So we're a critical partner to the Stanford Public Schools because of the number of children that we feed into them.
Sure.
And we're geographically conveniently located, right? Not far from the city. And so it makes us a really interesting partner for some folks who are doing creative research. Columbia Medical School, for instance, and this goes back to related to our talking about social and emotional development. Columbia Medical School has a program called Family Nurturing Intervention, in which we're working with both the parent and the child to establish emotional connection. And unlike the work that we did with Yale, which was all around cognitive or all around the brain.
Right.
The work with Columbia, it's what I call around the heart. It's the autonomic nervous system.
Hugs.
And it's the stomach. Hugs, yeah. Man.
Stomach is the second brain.
Yeah.
Mine is really dumb.
And by the way, if it's acting up a little, you can't think straight, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So we've been working with them. We're excited about that because we think, you know, you get quick results. And when you see a child with out of control behavior, dysregulated behavior, for them to be able to connect with their mother, it's really powerful. And by the way, for us as educators, if a child can't regulate with their mother, they can't regulate or co-regulate with their teacher. So
that's a big deal.
And a lot of these mothers, though, are in their own trauma.
Sure.
So that's part of the. You know, you go up the food chain, and that's why working with the mothers as well, helping them connect.
Yeah, that's
key, right?
That's spot on. And by the way, then you know, overlay devices. Don't get me started.
Right. Hey, so we have an event coming up, right?
Yeah.
On April 4th. And it's going to be featuring Mark Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And the Coasters.
Yeah.
And Band Central.
That's right. You bet. We're excited about all three of them.
So just tell us a little bit more, and how can folks, if there's still tickets available, I mean, clc.org?
Yeah.
Right?
CLCFC.org.
CLCFC.org.
Or you can go to the Palace. I think it's the palacetheater.org.
So it's the Palace Theater in Bridgeport?
No, in Stanford.
Stanford. I got it all right. I got all my notes here.
Spot on.
Yeah.
It's my stomach brain.
So this is going to be a great show to benefit the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's going to feature Grammy Award-winning artist Mark Cohen.
Yeah.
And rock and roll perennial
legends,
the Coasters.
Yakety
and this
yak.
Is Band Central's kickoff performance.
Premiere.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. So, you know, Mark, we want you to stick around.
Okay.
We're going to do a little bit of a roundtable. We're going to invite Claudia back in.
Oh, excellent.
And we're going to chat a little bit more about many of the issues facing you guys as you do this incredible work that's going on.
Wonderful.
We couldn't be more happy to have you here. And right now, because you're doing your jobs so well, I'm feeling stronger every day. Now let me tell you something about that, this song, Feeling Stronger Every Day. It's not Chicago, it's Leonoid and Friends. This is a Russian group, a sound-alike group that has been all over YouTube playing the music of Chicago, and they're unbelievable. They probably don't speak a word of English, but they are just rocking and rolling, and I love this version. So Feeling Stronger Every Day.
It fits so well for the theme of our show. Right?
Yep, so right here on WPKN Listener Supported Radio, we are Band Central Radio and being joined again by Claudia Connor, who is the president and CEO of CIRI, the Connecticut Institute for Refugees
and Immigrants,
and Mark Jaffe, who is the president and CEO of the Connecticut Learning Centers.
Children's Learning Centers.
Yeah, CLC.
Yeah, that's it.
Children's Learning Centers. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, it's a big subject that we're dealing with today, which is how do we sort of integrate all of these disenfranchised people who are no longer disenfranchised. They're here, and they've got families and children, and they have to take advantage of what it is that they can take advantage of. And both of your organizations are doing an unbelievable job of helping to, I don't want to use the word assimilate, but to get it right. Okay? So why don't we start with Mark for a second? Mark, our discussion today centers around immigrants right here in Fairfield. How does this immigrant and refugee add to the community, either socially, economically, or in any other way that you care to espouse on?
So, as I had mentioned earlier, we serve nearly 1,000 children a day, and so which means we enable the parents of 1,000 children to work. And if you think about Fairfield County, which has the greatest concentration of immigrants in the state, and if I look at where our parents work, largest employer is Stanford Hospital. Second largest employer is a restaurant and catering chain. They're the service economy, and they provide a critical economic stimulation to our economy. And if they weren't there, a lot of restaurants would be out of business. I've walked into 3 different doctor's offices, and believe it or not, I'm healthy. But nurses have looked at the pin that I wear on my lapel, and they go, my kid went to CLC. So critical part of the community, critical part of, the economy.
Do you have something to add to that? Because I have a question for you as well. But that seems pretty reasonable to expect that if there was a problem with the immigrants who are here and the folks that comprise either CLC families or Siri families, that we would be really stuck as a community.
Absolutely. I mean, Mark is exactly right about the economic contributions of immigrants in our community, especially in Fairfield County. But I would also add that there's incredible richness that they bring to us. I mean, to your point about sort of the integration, and we would use the word integration over assimilation because it allows for the
intactness.
Maintenance, yeah, to maintain their own culture, what they bring. And so we have this incredible richness of music, of language, of skills from different parts of the world. So in our programs and services, we also try to foster those skills and talents and help our clients get access to the resources and services they need to really thrive here.
So this is a question for both of you. Are the new entrants to the community generally more motivated, innovative, and entrepreneurial than, say, folks that started out here in the first place? How are we, what's the trajectory there?
So, interesting. We're 116 years old, and we are serving the exact same population today that we did 116 years ago. It just so happens 116 years ago, they were Irish and Italian. Hmm. And now they happen to be Hispanic and Eastern European.
Right.
That's kind of stunning.
CLC's been around that long, right? Now, I think Siri, too, has been around.
Well,
it was a different name.
Not quite that old. So, yeah, it was the International Institute of Connecticut. In 2018, we celebrated our centennial. So we're now 101, so a little bit younger.
A baby.
But I would just also say that, the world is a really different place. So what was innovative in 1920 is innovation looks really different today,
sure.
Right? And so I think, what we try to do and what we see is just an incredible capacity for, for hope, for, incredible determination, resilience. I mean, these sort of innate human skills that people bring, and they are incredibly motivated. Our clients, when we see, and I'm just speaking now about the refugee population, so motivated to work, so motivated to give back.
And these people love their families.
There is incredible attachment to family here in the United States, and family members that may not have come yet.
And they send money to those families. I have somebody that's working for my dad, and every paycheck, she's an elder care specialist from Tibet, and her last name is Sherpa. I don't know if it really is. And every single dollar she basically gets, she sends to her family.
Yeah, there's a high level of remittances that are sent home to take care of people. And then in our legal services, our immigration legal services, a tremendous percentage of the cases are family reunification cases, people trying to bring their family members back to the United States to maintain that family unit.
You know, it's the same thing we were talking about at the top of the show where we said it's the same as it always was. When Mark makes the point that it was the Italians and the Irish 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And look how the Italians have enriched, you know, our community and the Irish.
But, you know, there's something going on, which is that it's the family, like it's children's learning center. But you're really helping families, not just the kids, because what a burden that's being released from the folks that can't necessarily feed the kids or worry about them during the day in an early childhood education program. How do we help the families even more?
Well, good question. I'm not sure I know the complete answer to that.
I just wanted to throw you a hot potato.
What would be on your wish list? What's on your
it's
wish
a round table.
List? Is a CEO.
Well, one of the things that we're looking at, you know, we're launching a strategic plan. And a top priority is parent engagement. And we think that will come from partnerships.
Sure.
So we work with some other great organizations like Building One Community and Family Centers and they have, you know, they have deep domain expertise in these areas and it allows us to scale.
And the reason I ask is because it's Children's Learning Center, but it's really all about families.
Absolutely right.
And when you deal with CIRI, Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants, you're dealing with a huge picture that involves 8 to 80, you know, mm-hmm. 1 to 100. Mm-hmm. How do you do right with all these different segments that are coalescing that don't necessarily all, you know, they're not all the same?
Right.
Right.
So I'll give you an example. I mean, we had a earlier this month, we had a family of eight refugee family of eight from the Democratic Republic of Congo. The mom, so they have, there's a mom and dad and six kids, and the mother fled Congo when she was 25. She met her now husband in a refugee camp. They had their entire family in a refugee camp, and they arrived here in Bridgeport. In March this month. So home number two for this family is Bridgeport, Connecticut. So what we're doing, both parents are highly motivated to work. First thing that we need to help them do is get into English as a second language.
Sure.
They're fluent in a number of languages, but including French, but not English. The kids are, you know, enrolled in school, and, you know, we have other complementary programs so that down the road, if they need, we don't have in-house clinicians, but like most nonprofits, we work closely with many, many partners. So we have partner agencies that can provide therapy for our clients. We have in-house psychosocial wellness programs. We have many activities and services targeting children and youth and teens. So we're really, it's across the generations that we're trying to help people thrive where they are with the issues that they're struggling with. And then we have celebrations so that we can build community. We have an annual World Refugee Day celebration right here at Seaside Park, which is open to the community. We have other events that really celebrate the richness and the multicultural diversity and help our clients realize that this is a home for them and they can, you know, really sink roots here.
Wow, that's incredible. So in the time we have, I'm going to throw it to Mark in a second. Claudia, what is the number one issue that you find facing CIRI, the Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants?
The number one
issue, your challenge.
Challenge. So definitely the operating environment, the current political environment, the anti-immigrant, anti-refugee environment that we discussed a little while ago is, you know, as I said, the work is hard in the best of times, but to be providing these services in an environment atmosphere of negativity and hostility where refugees and immigrants are scapegoated for terrorism, for all the, you know, shootings and so on. I mean, it's profoundly unfair, and it creates an additional layer of significant stress for our clients, and we are confronting that every single day.
And listeners can meet Claudia in person June 7th at our event at the Carriage Barn in New Canaan.
You can hand her fistfuls of dollars.
You can also
be really nice.
You can also get part of seeing what CIRI's about and being part of the new discourse about the positive change that, sure, that we can have toward refugees and immigrants.
Beautifully said. So, Mark, same thing for you, Children's Learning Center.
So before I answer that, I would say, you know, interesting around the issue of parent engagement, which is one of our biggest challenges is getting them engaged. And the reason is because they're working two or three jobs
right.
to support their family. Our biggest challenge, you know, our largest funder is the state and the federal government. And, you know, that's effectively been flat for about 8 years. And we know everything else costs more.
Yeah.
So it's raising dollars in the private sector. And the return on investment in early childhood education is better than anywhere else we could spend in education, about 13% per annum.
Well, listen, guys, I cannot thank you enough. Claudia Connor from SERI, Mark Jaffe from CLC. You guys are making a difference in the world, and it's the reason that we're on the air today is to be able to talk to you folks and share what it is that's going on. I couldn't think of a better way to spend a Monday. How about you, Rob?
Absolutely. What do you got on tap for today?
So we got a little bit. We got a little bit of a wistful song here, and we're going to end with "Sweet Baby James," which is just a terrific homage. And we'll be right back. It's a short song right here on Band Central Radio. Claudia and Mark, thank you. Please come back. We can't wait to share great news about our events, and we want to keep the dialogue going.
Thanks so much, Andy.
You betcha.
There is a young cowboy who lives on the range. His horse and his cattle are his only companions. He works in the saddle, and he sleeps in the canyons, waiting for summer, his pastures to change. And as the moon rises, he sits by his fire, thinking about women and glasses of beer, and closing his eyes while the doggies retire, he sings out a song which is soft but it's clear, as if maybe someone could hear. Good night, you moonlight ladies, rock-a-bye, sweet baby James. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams and rock-a-bye, sweet baby James.
Oh, man. That is an incredible version of that song, and that's Carson singing under me. That is the other favorites there, Rob, and they are Carson McKee and Josh Turner, and they recorded that. They're a YouTube sensation, and I love these guys.
Want to give hugs.
There we go. Want to give hugs. And those guys are playing, by the way, at the Rockwood Music Hall April 11th. They're playing up in Syracuse on the 12th of April with Reina Del Cid, and she's also terrific. So everybody should listen to Josh Turner and Carson and Reina Del Cid.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, bro, before we check out, I just want to say also, Tuesday morning from 7 to 9, there's going to be right here on listener-supported WPKN, there's going to be a show honoring Charlie Karp. It's an interview that was done with him a couple years ago. For those of you who don't know, Charlie Karp, a great singer, songwriter, guitarist, and hero from this area, this Fairfield County, passed away a couple weeks ago.
And he was a legend. Look, the Buddy Miles record that we were talking about is right there.
Absolutely. I had the pleasure to have Charlie perform in a couple of Band Together shows and share the stage with him, and I was very inspired.
We're
by
sending
Charlie.
Love and light to Charlie Karp wherever he
may be. I also want
to
send good vibes out to Jackie Greenwood. She's Bill Greenwood passed away this weekend. Bill was Bone Dry's first and biggest fan. We actually played at his 60th birthday party in October, and so our condolences are going out to Jack.
Nice. And very heartfelt.
Yeah.
So, Rob, we're coming to the end of the show. I thought that was a great roundtable. What guests. What a caliber.
Yeah.
Claudia, Connor, and Mark Jaffe really do have incredible missions, each of them on this whole question of refugees and immigrants and immigrant kids, right? Just really something special.
It's a net plus. I hope you and I are part of changing the tone and the mood about refugees and immigrants.
Well, and we hope the listeners really can support these guys. Let's see if I can find the URL right here. CIRICT, CIRICT.org and CLC.org. And these are just phenomenal resources. So, Rob, until next time on Band Central Radio, I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thanks for bringing your magic, Andy. You're the best.
You too. All right. See you soon.